It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Welcome to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. It's Monday. It's Monday, and worldwide government, well, then you get worldwide revolution. I mean, that's just, you know, what they think was going to happen. So we'll talk about that for a little bit today, but mostly today we're going to be in studio with Nick Barnett and Drew Phillips. You know, when he gets out of bed, he might show up. Now, the thing is this weekend was a busy weekend. Friday afternoon, we had the directors, founders, coordinators of the 10th Amendment Center's Nullify Now event that was Saturday afternoon and evening. We got a table. We set up Freedom's Phoenix Gypsy booth there. We had wallet voting, explaining that to people. Got it all set up and everything, and then Barry Hess and I left because it was his birthday, and we just, you know, we've heard it before. Now, this is what we did. Friday, we had the directors. We had Michael Bolden and Bryce, and I can't remember how to pronounce his last name. And they were in on Thursday. Bryce was on. And then Friday, Michael came on the show in the last half hour, along with Stuart Rhodes from Oath Keepers. Now, the first hour, we had Brad Friedman. Now, he's a progressive, bradblog.com, and he's big Obama, and he and I went at it, and he was mad that I didn't watch the State of the Union address, and I went, because you know, I didn't have to. But he goes, why? I go, did he say things were okay and going to get better? Well, you know, he was lying. I mean, why? I don't got to subject myself to that. So Saturday, Friday night, we had a party. You know, the guys came over and we just had, you know, whoever wanted to hang, and we enjoyed each other's company and so on. And my wife, you know, always sets up a nice spread for us, and we barbecued and such and had a good time. The next day we went to the Arizona State Libertarian Party convention. Now, Lee Wrights is a good friend of mine, and he was a campaign manager for Mary Ruart, which was opposition to Bob Barr in the 08 presidential cycle. Now, Lee Wrights, with the support of Mary Ruart, he's running for the presidential nomination for the Libertarian Party. Now, his whole thing is peace, no war. Can we just do that? You know, where the anti-war movement, why is it that the Libertarian Party and the movement has not embraced not being at war? For how many reasons do you need? So that was his message, and it'd be interesting to see how that plays out. He's a good friend. He came over and said, yo, what's up? Saturday, you know, he just come over and spent some time, and we hung out and such. And then we had left the state convention that was midday on Saturday, and Barry and I went down to downtown Sheridan Resort Hotel, whatever down there, that's subsidized by the city of Phoenix. I can't not say that. That is so stupid. That's a whole nother thing. So they're down there having their 10th Amendment Center Nullify Now thing. So we got there and we set up and, you know, paid our extra and put up our big banner for Freedom's Phoenix and a wallet voting and got all our goodies out there and, you know, say, hey, yo, what's up to all the people that we knew. Now, there are hundreds of people there. I mean, not a whole lot. I would say, you know, 300 or something like that, maybe. You think about that many?
Well, the whole thing was filled up. All the seats were pretty much taken up. I'd say it was 95% capacity.
Well, they had set up for how many? I mean, like a couple hundred?
Yeah, 300. Probably 300.
Yeah, 300 about. So what they did is... I recognize these people, you know, from before. So I'm going, okay, who are these people? They're the Republican, blue hair, John Birch, once more into the breach, precinct committee chair, used to be legislator, Tea Party, right wing, you know, kind of, we know Ron Paul's name people. Not really Ron Paul people. They just kind of, yeah, Ron Paul, yeah, we're kind of sort of, you know, it's okay. He's all right as long as I don't have to vote for him and, you know, because I need the party. He's not for the party.
As long as we're not going to talk about foreign policy, they're down with him.
Right. So the thing is that they are not about just shutting down the war and coming. Federal Reserve, they're kind of, they are about real money. And there was a John Birch guy from Utah that was all happy. They wanted me to meet him. Former Senator Karen Johnson was there, along with her former aide that's now aide to Sylvia Allen, which is kind of the state person for this 10th Amendment thing. And, you know, Shelton, I was just talking to Charles Goyette. He'll be on tomorrow. And he said, yeah, 4409, Shelton goes up to him and he says, you know, they should tell everybody that Sylvia Allen voted for photo radar. You know, it's just, there's no common principle with these people. So what I could recognize all the people, not bad people, you know, a lot of them go to the Breakfast Club, a lot of them, you know, different activists for different things. Campaign for Liberty was there, Goldwater Institute and all these guys. Libertarian Party had a table and so on. But it's the same thing. And it's all about, we need to tell the rulers in Washington that they're not our rulers anymore because we got state rulers that rule us. And I'm like, you know, I don't have time for this. I'm, you know, I get it. They wanted me, the John Birch guys out of Utah, wanted to meet with me because we had got that medallion, our centennial medallion, minted in gold. They want to change to silver, and the old Karen Johnson wants to talk to me about that. So I had a conversation. We talked to him about what we had done, and I go, you know, we're not waiting on you guys. We're not waiting. We're not waiting. This is coming down faster than you can get some legislation passed. I guarantee it. So I take them over to wallet voting table. And there's Nick and Drew showing their wares, you know. And I'm going, you know, hey, man, you want to see, we're already doing it. We're not waiting on you now. You know, they're going, well, we're going, yeah, waiting on you now. You know, I'm just, we're not waiting. You know, we're just so freaking not waiting. It's coming down faster than you guys are going to be able to even get the legislation introduced, much less passed or enacted. They want the states to be able to, you know, coin their own money and all this. And I'm like, yeah, you know, you've already given it up. You've already said that. Oh, yeah, we recognize this federal government. And we're going to use the U.S. Constitution to be able to, you know, you're already giving up. So I, instead of arguing with them, Barry and I just, you know, gave our niceties to everybody and say, yo, what's up, and hug on the people we love. And, you know, it's been real and it's Barry's birthday and we got someplace better to be, which is home and, you know, drinking beer. So that's what we did. So we left the Campaign for Liberty guys there and the Libertarian Party and Goldwater Institute and the wallet voting guys, Nick Barnett there to plow their wares and let everybody know what's up. Now, Nick's here, and we come back in the next segment. We're going to have him tell us all about what happened and what the plan is and how well this thing is working. Because it's important for people to understand the educational part behind this. There is an enormous amount of information just from this effort, and it's already starting to get out. Now, I also, before the end of the show, I want to bring up what's going on in Egypt. This, they're trying to put it in, it's like Clinton says. Hillary goes, hey, you know, we can't have a void in leadership. We don't care who's in there. We just need somebody at, you know, in this position so we can tell them what to do. The videos that you're starting to see, that's just exactly what I knew. The same thing that happened with the Gifford shooting and so on. Don't get all worked up about it in the first few days, the first week, the first 2 weeks. Because whatever you're going to get the spin on Fox and CNN and MSNBC and ABC and NBC and CBS and PBS and HBO, whatever, it's a lie. It's always a lie. I'll tell you what's coming out. The people on the ground said, this is not an Islamic thing, a Christian thing, an atheist thing. They even say this, atheist, well, it doesn't matter. It's an us thing against the United States government controlling everything. Had more to do with the WikiLeaks leaks about what the State Department's really doing and the links into these regimes than anything else. We'll talk about it later, and economics has a lot to do with it. We'll be right back. You stay there.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
What are we fighting for here in DeClaire? Your independence of me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the beautiful studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. You know, passing laws, they just have ramifications. Events have ramifications. Different things that happen, just create, choices that people make. I give you a perfect example. Nick comes in, he's all proud of himself. Now, look what he got. Oh, it's a magazine. For a Glock. Oh, and it has, wait a minute. It has a lot of 33 rounds go in this thing. 33 rounds. And you know what's interesting about this magazine? He doesn't have a gun to go with it. What the heck are you doing buying this without a gun to go with it?
Well, I just wanted to get him before I can't.
I know. See, that's how these things work. It's always you want to get it before you can't get it. Because if you don't, you won't be able to get it. So this is what I want to make sure that people understand. Whenever you're going to have any kind of impact, it's like Dianne Feinstein Boxer, I think it was. I remember in the 90s when they did the assault weapons ban. They were saying, all of a sudden they saw how much gun sales shot up. And they go, well, that was a violation of the spirit of the law. They shouldn't have been able to, so I'm just going, what'd you think was going to happen? So let's go ahead and talk about the ramifications of the economy and what's going on there and what kind of lessons we can learn from it and what, they're doing. Nick, tell me about the event. You guys showed up right after we got it all set up and everything, and then you guys took over and you started, I guess, talking to people and so on. Tell us what happened.
Well, we put together these little cards to try and get people to start using junk silver. Right now we're kind of marketing them as a bridge in a conversation. Like you can grab one of them. So if you're talking to somebody about sound money and what real money is, we have these cards that have the junk silver right in them. And on the back it has the breakdown of what each coin is worth if you assume that silver is at $30. It's a little less than that right now, but so you're able to see this is made of silver and it's worth about $2. So it's a good way to get a conversation going so you can start talking about real money. And Drew was hawking the heck out of them. I think he sold out almost. Maybe he's got one or two left, but it was a big hit. And the speakers there were, all of them came over, basically all of them came over and talked about them. Just, they're really thrilled with the idea. So, we hope to do a lot more with this or stuff like this.
Well, what was the education? I mean, did people understand what you're doing?
Lots of people are like, oh, I don't collect coins. I don't really care about that. One guy was even ticked off. He said, Drew's like, have you started investing in silver? And he's like, no, and I'm not gonna. So
why?
I don't know what was up with that dude. And there was another guy who, when we asked if he was invested in silver, he's like, it's none of your business. And we were like, yeah, you're right. It is none of our business. We were just trying to talk, but you don't want to talk about it. It's A-okay with us.
Yeah, we're going to follow you out to your car. the concept, though, I tell you, there was a lot of people there that were wanting to espouse the concept of getting the government to go back to gold and silver, and that was the mechanism. And as I was talking to some of the people, I'll tell you what their thing was. They felt threatened by what you were doing. They were like, oh yeah, well, we need to get the states trading and we need to get, that doesn't matter. This is, you're distracting kind of thing. And I'm going, whoa, this is already able to be done and is going to preempt anything they're going to even be able to someday think about getting somebody to pass. Even though we got legislation here in Arizona for a commemorative gold medallion, 1 ounce medallion, or even in smaller denominations here in Arizona, and they got to get on it because our centennial is next year. So this is something that we did years ago in anticipation of this. So that to think that I was going to wait for them, So the people that were buying it, you know, they were seeing it as an educational piece or as an investment or a trading piece. How were they seeing it?
Well, they weren't really, we weren't really pitching it as an investment piece. We were, you know, we were definitely pitching junk silver. We had some old Peace dollars and some old Morgans that we were selling as well, and some halves. Those were for an investment or, you know, a hedge against inflation. But these, in the first initial run, they're, you know, it's not a junk silver price. You know, it's a little bit more because there's a, you know, time and labor and materials and stuff that go into it. So with this round, we were pitching them pretty much as a collectible or an idea or a way to start a conversation or, you know, prove your point when you're talking to somebody about real money.
Well, what is your point? I mean, what is it you're trying to do, Nick?
That silver has value, and it doesn't matter what Federal Reserve note quantity is printed on this dime. I can trade it to many people that I know for, you know, $2 worth of goods or services.
You know, that's one thing that we try to demonstrate by, you go to walletvoting.com and there's a video there, how to buy and sell silver. Well, Alma, you know, one of the activists, she went with us down to American Precious Metals here in East Phoenix, and we went up to them and showed people on video. We bring in the silver. We had $49 in silver coins and found out it was worth $1,000. And we're going, okay, you know, that's getting like 20 to 1. So you go in there and he'll say, all right, a roll of dimes was $105 to buy from him. If you brought in a roll of dimes, he would give you $100 for it. So it's like a 5% swing for his, you know, making money. So there, it's tradable. It's a, you know, it's commodity. You know, it's a known quantity. So this is, it became such a good idea that started at the Freedom Summit. We were talking about this, that all of a sudden, you know, it just kind of evolved into, you know, a lot of ways that we could use this as an education and present this. And Nick had a good idea of doing these cards. Now, hand me, here, I got one here. Let me go ahead and put this up. See, you just have a quarter there. It's 90% silver, and it's a 64 earlier. You know, what's this coin worth? You know, more than you think. Then you go on the back, and it has a chart there that shows how much silver actually is in each of these different coins and their ages and so on, so that you can just, you know, right here, it tells you what the value is. Well, we've already started trading these at the gun shows because these guys are pretty much already, you know, kind of set on this anyway. Did you have any success dealing at the gun shows with these?
Man, that ammo can guy loves silver. Yeah, I give him 35 cents for a $10 ammo can. So, you know, it comes out to, it was about a 30% discount. 35 cents roughly was about 7 Federal Reserve notes.
It doesn't take long.
No.
You know, this is what's going to happen. We're going to be using this as an example, videotaping this. You know, we didn't get a lot of videotape at Gun Show. They don't like video. They don't like cameras in the Gun Show.
No, they took Drew's camera, so we couldn't film any of our stuff.
So I got some pictures. But what we do is we take and show people how this is going to happen when the dollar goes, and it's going. There's, you know, it's not if and when, or, you know, if it's when. So what we're going to do is have an educated populace that understands what's already available to use. We have Droid apps that they've already done. We'll show you that when we come back, and websites that you can trade in silver.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Hey! One man, one goal. Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEAU beautiful studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. Almost got my voice back. You know, it's just now, it's allergies. Now I'm just, oh, man. You know, what we're doing here in the Valley is we're just trying to lead the way, you know, or just be an example, inspiration to other people. Got a lot of people doing a lot of things. And we come up against, you know, a lot of people are considered leaders in the freedom movement, even the libertarian-type movement. And you know, it's, you know, oh, can we put a higher standard on this? Because I was talking to Charles Goyette. He'll be on tomorrow just before the show. And he goes, yeah, Ernie, you know, I'm even a little bit older than you. You know, we've been through these cycles many times before. And we'll talk about it tomorrow. And I go, yes, We have. It's just a same old, same old, same old, same old one more time without addressing the real thing is that, you know, can we evolve past this need for regulations and controls and understand that we don't need to be ruled? Certainly not from, you know, thousands of miles away or even a few dozen miles away. I'm just, you know, if you don't learn that, I don't know what the point is, because you're always going to keep going through the same cycles. Now, Drew Phillips decided to, you know, grace us and get up and come. And it's good to see you, Drew.
Howdy.
Now, I want to go ahead and get in the camera thing here.
You have no authority over me. No.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind. He's hiding there. Wait a minute. Let me turn the camera. Hey, come on. A little bit forward so you can see part of your... There he is. There he is. There he is. Okay. Go ahead and tell me, what was your perspective on Saturday at the Nullify Now
event? I just
event?
Gave him authority over me. I mean, he made me move.
As a consideration to the audience, he's been nice to you. He wouldn't do it for me.
This is a radio show, Ernie. Nobody's watching.
Yeah.
I had a good time this weekend.
You too.
I had a great time this weekend. I always enjoy manning the Freedom's Phoenix booth. And like I told you, when we set up, it's always fun because all the material just kind of comes together and explodes all over the table, and everybody brings whatever their project was, or you had your flyers and Tom brought a bunch of DVDs and silver, and then Nick and I brought our stuff, and so the table just kind of takes on a life of its own.
That's why they call it the Gypsy Booth.
That's right. So it was a lot of fun, and we were very colorful, and I don't know, they put us right in front of Cato Institute, so we kind of blocked, you know,
no,
they
Goldwater,
sorry, and they had
no, I was the first one there. I chose that.
Yeah, it's a good location.
I had everything to pick. I picked this one.
It was a good location, and Goldwater had a manless booth. There was no one there to work it. They just set up their little display with the pictures and information, and we kind of, you know, blocked it. So that was kind of...
There was nobody looking at it either.
Yeah, so it was kind of a weird setup where the vendor tables were. But anyway, so I had a good time, and the speeches were pretty dynamite. I mean, there was a lot of good, you know, I mean, A-team speakers. And
well, who are the... anybody saying, screw them? You know, the heck with Washington, we're done?
Oh, yeah, and it was the younger guys, Bolden, who spoke, and also the other gentleman who was the organizer.
Bryce.
And Bryce, and then, I forget all their names, but John Bush's partner, the radio guy, he gave a speech just before dinner, and they were the younger speakers of the crowd, and they all certainly got up there and said, we don't need no stinking permission, and that was kind of their theme of the conference. And so,
you know, the one thing that kind of surprised me, Friday, while I was going through some of the graphics, that you have kind of emphasis on marijuana. You know, it's a 10th Amendment thing, medical marijuana, marijuana. I'm going, I don't know, this is a Tea Party thing, man. You sure? You might as well just say, you know, end the war.
I mean, well, so. And Gary Johnson said as much at the end of the night, and it was definitely a mixed reaction. Like you were saying, there was some Tea Party people, some libertarians, some anarchists, and everything in between, and even a man admitted to being a liberal. At the beginning, you know, he kind of said, do we have conservatives here? Do we have liberals here? And one gentleman stood up and said, yes, I'm a liberal. And Bolden was good to say, well, we owe you a round of applause. And that's what he got, you know, for having the courage to come out just to listen and learn. So, yeah, when Gary Johnson got up at the end and said, end the drug war and come home from Iraq, there was certainly a mixed reaction. Half the crowd was applauding and the other half was kind of grumbling.
I got the impression there was a lot of, it was kind of took on this Republican John Birch flavor.
Yeah, the I Love Muslims bumper sticker on our booth didn't go over well at all.
I Love Muslims?
Yeah, it's a Liberty Stickers bumper sticker I got in Libertopia, and I just had one, and I had a few of these. They're pretty good stickers. I just threw them on the table just to kind of brighten up the table, and I got so many people, what is that? What is that? And, you know, it's the way you respond to them. I would just say, oh, well, you know, everyone's got to have a sense of humor, and some people go, okay, it's a joke, right? And I'm going, no, I love Muslims. I love thy neighbor. I love everybody. I don't have hatred in my heart like you do. But a few people, you know, wouldn't just take my little quip that it was a humorous joke and would say, you know,
no place here.
Yeah, and one guy, oh, I wish it said, I love to shoot Muslims, and one lady, you know, was shushing me, and yeah,
shh, shh, shh.
You know, because we were being loud. And it wasn't that we were being loud. It's that our products were more exciting than their speakers, and people kept coming up and talking to us, you know. But they're not my neighbors, and I, something, we should kill all Muslims. I mean, it was really hateful, nasty stuff, and I just politely smiled and just go away, lady.
I'm a dumb kid.
I don't want
to. There's this group of Tea Party bikers, or used to be bikers or whatever. They always wear their leather vests, and they have all these, you know, who is John Galt, and, you know, just a whole bunch of patches on their vest. And this one guy had a whole bunch of, like, Bible verses and Jesus this and, you know, all this stuff. And Drew was talking to him about, doesn't the Bible say love thy neighbor? He's like, oh, they're not my neighbors. Those they don't count.
I tried to throw the religion back in their face, and they wouldn't take that, you know, love the sinner, not the sin, and, you know, that sort of stuff. But they just have this mentality that all Muslims are bad and they all must go. So, yes, there was a Tea Party
element
there.
You know what's interesting, though? You have one of the founders of this, Michael Bolden, he gives a speech, and he emphasizes, how he presents this gun weed thing. Because we had the guns and weed movie guys on. He didn't even know about it. And I'm going, look, man, there's some guys way ahead of you on this one, you know. So how does he, what's his rhetoric?
He starts off the speech, and I think he was the one who said something about, you know, if you don't offend the crowd, you're not doing your job or something. But he gets up and starts talking about weed and marijuana and cannabis activists and pointing out that in L.A. there's apparently more dispensaries than there are 7-Elevens or something. I mean, it's gotten stupid. But so his point is that these marijuana activists or people who choose to smoke cannabis are defying federal law, you know, every day. It's a felony in most states to even just possession of this substance, of this green leafy substance. And his point is, he breaks it all down and says, look at these marijuana activists are breaking federal laws and committing felons every day. And these gun right activists will go right up to the point where it's illegal for them to do something in order to assert their gun rights. And the question is, do you have the chutzpah that the marijuana activists do? And not all, but a lot of gun rights activists don't, where they won't. They'll go to the point where they're not breaking the law, and if they need to challenge that law, they won't. They'll just acquiesce and say, well, I guess I don't have that gun right. You know, so do you have, if it's illegal to conceal carry in California, do you have the balls to do it? If it's illegal to open carry in California, do you have the balls to do it? Or anywhere else, do you have the balls to commit a felony like a marijuana activist does every day just by smoking? And so he's saying the marijuana
activists... In a park, in front of cops.
And so he's saying the marijuana activists are more ballsy than gun rights activists, and in some sense, he's right.
And how did that go over?
Even though I said, you know, the crowd didn't like the Afghan stuff, getting out of the war stuff, they were a bit more open to the marijuana stuff. And, you know, with the passage of 203 recently, I think they're in Arizona, it's a little more socially accepted, and even conservatives are okay with that issue or not as, you know.
Did you stay for Senator Carol Allen's
Sylvia
speech?
Allen, yes, I did.
Sylvia Allen. So Sylvia Allen's speech, wasn't there Carol Allen at one time? I guess there's two of them. Anyway, Sylvia, I don't pay attention. Okay. Mm. So she gets up there and she gives her spiel. One thing that Shelton was telling Charles Goya, goes, hey, man, she voted for camera fraud.
Yeah, and we were all kind of grumbling in the back. Who's that John Greenberg guy or whatever was saying he had worked with her on that bill, and she essentially, you know, sponsored it without reading it, and this is the one that allowed off-duty police officers to get overtime pay to go serve photo radar tickets to your door.
In uniform.
And get overtime pay for it. And, yeah, she spoke, and so we were, and I'll tell you what the conclusion of that was and how we handled it, but, yeah, it was a bit hypocritical that, you know, this pro photo radar candidate is up there. You know, what's constitutional about photo radar?
We're going to find out how the legislature is going to take advantage of this mood. And what is the mood? We'll talk about it when we come back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock. Turn on the tube.
Yeah, get over here and declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day, Monday through Friday, on the LRN.FM network and some other affiliates around the country, which they reminded me I'm not allowed to cuss. You know, I let ones kind of slip by, you know, the BS thing is one article, and it had like BS in there like a dozen times.
I haven't heard that.
Yeah, you know, I just, oh, it was so perfect, though. And they go, Ernie, FCC, you know, and I'm like, oh yeah.
Do you have the chutzpah of a weed activist?
Well, you know, the thing is, though, is that it's in deference to their license. It's not,
no,
you know, it's their deal. It's their private property.
I understand.
So, you know, for they
and
I
thank them for carrying your show.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, I'm sorry. But there was an article on Freedom's Phoenix today. It was a guest article that someone had done. It was called Egypt Revolution and Future of USA. And maybe we'll be able to read some parts of it. And what happened, though, is the graphic that we had in there was Lady Liberty holding an AR-15 above her head, and it said American Jihad. And he sent an email this morning. That's what brought my attention to it. He says, I guess Pal put that up there. And he goes, hey, man, I'd like that changed. I don't like that graphic. And because we picked the graphics for Letters to the Editor. And the point that he was making, it goes blah, 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 blah. But I suggest you read it. And maybe we'll read some of it someday or later today. But I tell you what the bottom line was. This is not a revolution of any particular group. It is an entire devolution of economic freedom, of economic capacity, ability, savings, inflation, everything that we scream and that we knew mathematically is going to happen to the world, and certainly it's coming to the United States, already has. What's happened is that there they don't have 46 million people on food stamps. You can't sustain yourself. Sucks to be you. You starve. And it got to the point in Tunisia where a gentleman that's an educated individual, computer science guy, can't get a job. He goes into the farmer's market and he starts hawking produce. Well, they come in, they humiliate the guy, they throw his stuff in the square, in the street, kick him out. You don't have a license, didn't get permission, blah, blah, blah. Goes to the city council, makes his case before him. Hey, I can't, they won't give me a license. They kick them out, shut the door. He goes, all right, okay. You know, he didn't know what else to do, I guess. And he took lighter fluid, poured it all over him, lit himself on fire. That was the spark. No pun intended. What happens is, this is just the beginning. And you always have the Rosa Parks instances. You always have the incident where there's that one person that represents something that's been building up for a long time. Economically, we are already screwed. They go like, there's another, in this article, he references a YouTuber. This guy has a dining room table full of stacks of pennies. And he goes, now this line half, this is entitlements. We can't even touch that. The blue line here, a little bit like two-thirds, three-quarters of this table full of pennies, this is what our revenue is. And this extra third to 25% of this extra money over here is what we have to borrow. And he goes, Obama came out and said, we're going to cut $100 million. And he goes, let me show you what that is. Out of each stack of pennies, this entire table is covered with stacks of about, I don't know, 5 to 10 pennies in each stack. He takes one penny off and he cuts it in quarters and he takes three quarters of them and all these trillions of dollars out there. And he goes, this is what they're talking about cutting. It just doesn't seem that much, you know? So I'm going, this is why, and people, they talk trillions of dollars, but you just got to divide it out amongst the people. I mean, it's hundreds of thousands. It is unpayable. It's not. So what do we have today? Today, there's an article that they're talking about. We're going to pay off China first because they're saying, look, man, we're screwed. There's so many things. It's bad. The GOP's wild plan to avoid U.S. default is to pay China first. OK, the new Republican legislation in the House and Senate would force the U.S. government to reroute huge amounts of money to China and other creditors in the event that Congress fails to raise the debt ceiling. You're screwed. They don't care about you. When this happens, there is no way that we are going to avoid enormous inflation, even hyperinflation. When that comes, how are you going to conduct commerce? How are you going to protect whatever you have left? How are you going to just, you know, keep breathing in and out? Well, the first thing is you fill up underneath your bed in a closet in a room in a, you know, in a barn or whatever with food. Now, that's what we're doing as much as we can. As you do trading and transactions and so on, there's going to be some kind of medium of exchange. Now, you can use gold, platinum, whatever else, or heck, you know, wheat. But the thing is that, you know, what is something that you can get in denominations that, you know, you can carry with you and make change and kind of, you know, is convenient? Silver is probably one of the more convenient ones. The other thing about silver is that you have it already in this, you know, what they call junk silver, the old uncirculated now silver, 1964 and earlier, 90% silver U.S. coins. You know, they got little Washingtons and Eisenhowers and such on there. You know, even JFKs. So this has value. You can take it down to any bullion dealer, any coin dealer, and they'll give you the spot price of the content of silver. A dime, over $2 now. So that also tells you that it's like, you know, 20, you know, times the original value. So that's inflation since then. So it's going to get a lot worse. That's what Nick and Drew have embraced as a concept to educate people on what's going on the ability to be able to try and make sure that people have a mechanism by which they can trade. Now, what I want to talk to them about is this has been part, just in the last few weeks, part of your life. I mean, you've tried to incorporate it in your transactions and so on. Has it, in just a short period of time that's just started, has it been embraced by anyone? I mean, tell me what your experiences are already.
The guy at the gun show with the ammo box and you. and they went wild this weekend. You know, we sold quite a bit. I mean, it was actually a lot of fun. Me and Nick were up doing some other stuff and an interview and such, and we were away from the booth for about an hour. We came back, and Tom handed us a pile of cash and said, I sold like five. So it was. I mean, it was doing itself. I mean, we would just put them out on the table, and people just picked them up and thought they were the neatest thing, and they wanted to get them. So
well, these quarters are over $5, $5.50.
Yeah, like $5.75 actually.
But. Yeah, you know. So it's. I mean, it's just so convenient, you know. And it just, you can put them in your wallet, and you do half dollars. What are they? $10 or something?
Yeah, at the. I had a few. I just had half dollars loose on the table, and they were going for 10 and change, and I was selling them for 12. And that was something that I noticed at the gun show. You know, we walked around all the different booths that were selling silver, and all of them had this high premium, you know, on their junk silver and stuff that they were selling. And I thought, man, you know, why do they have this high premium? But obviously, it makes sense. They have to pay to come and set up their booth and get the booth and come and gas money. And so and they kind of have a right to charge a high premium.
Charge whatever somebody will pay for.
and that's exactly the point, is the market will decide. And so while we were sitting there, Tom brought in these Morgans and Peace dollars that he was selling. He was selling for $26. Now, I wasn't selling them because they were Tom's thing. But this one woman starts asking me about it. And she says, well, what is that? I said, 27. I get a dollar because I sold one of Tom's, you know, pieces for him. Well, that was kind of early on, and then a little while later, Nick watched this all go down. Tom just started selling them for 27. I mean, he priced him at 26 when he walked in the door. I sell one for 27 because I can, and all of a sudden, Tom goes, "Duh, they're 27 now." So the market will decide if this woman was willing to pay 27. She was a silver collector or understood the value of it, and. You know, just bought.
And she knew it was cheaper than going down to the coin shop anyway.
And she bought. She just wanted to buy one because she was there and it was there. So she said 27. Fine, here you go. And I got a buck. The market will decide what it's worth.
So, are you encouraged by what happened this weekend, Nick?
Yes, and I was surprised by some of the speeches that were given. I was thinking, oh, this is just a constitutionalist. You know, let's go around and use it again, you know, beg the state to fix it all. Now, some people were like that, but I was really glad that there were still some that were not like that.
Hey, well, don't you feel that you guys are kind of leading the edge here?
Anarchy reigns.
It's going to happen regardless. That's one thing they go, well, you're for anarchy. I'm like, compared to what? What we got now? What do you think it is? Rule of law? Yeah. Well, rules will apply. We'll talk about what they are when we come back.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what Readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. Readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com are constantly provided the information that detail the real news between the lines of propaganda about government policies and the true relationship we all have with coercive governments. Learn the true condition of our economy, innovations and technological breakthroughs in energy, health, computer science, and space travel. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media, the media that is so last century. Corporate media has evolved into nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but we now have a fantastic alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com provides constant news updates on the issues that affect our lives in the most important ways. Our liberty and our property are under constant attack, and FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda while encouraging the participation of our readers. Join us at FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, where the revolution between the ears has already matured.